Today on Real Radio.
That's why Paul uses this word, that the shield of faith will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. How many of them? All of them.
Well, brother, Satan's really been kicking me around this month. I haven't been to church for a while because Satan's been beating me up. What kind of talk is that? You crazy nut? You let him beat you up. Oh, he's tearing me up. No, you're letting him tear you up. Get your shield up. Quit using it as a surfboard or something. Pick the thing up.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We're in its final chapter, chapter 6, and in a mini-series called Complete Christian Armor. Our focus is verses 10 through 20, where the author uses military analogies in describing how every believer is to, quote, put on the full armor of God. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Slaying the Dragon and Other Scary Things.
The Christian goes out in wars in this life against evil forces. If you think I'm kidding, sign up for a prayer meeting. Sign up to be on the prayer chain. Now, I don't mean to scare you. We're not going to be scared by this, but sign up in the prayer chain. Sign up to be involved. Sign up to do something, and you'll get a flat tire. You might get sick. You say, what's going on? Since I signed up, my life's falling apart. The Lord is just showing you what other Christians go through that serve Him. So do we give up? No. We take the shield of faith and we say, hey, you know what? I got this shield of faith right here. I got it. I'm going to use this thing. Lord, I'm going to commit my path unto you. I know that you'll show me the way of life, and I'm going to go. And God says, then let's move, and on we go. That's awesome. So many of you served last week at the conference. It was awesome to see you. And I've heard reports from some of you. You poured yourself out so much and so hard this last weekend at the conference, and you've said, I've never been more blessed. I can't. Oh, I love it. I'm going to sign up to do something else. That's how God works. Isn't that neat? He'll show us the path of life. 1 Corinthians 10:13, concerning above all, taking the shield of faith. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, the Bible says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. We are to be taking the shield of faith. And whatever you're going through and whatever I'm going through in life and shall go through, the shield of faith is strong enough even to ward off temptation. Why? Our faith in Him. And as we spend time in the Word, that faith grows. Satan's desire is to keep you from exercising your faith. He's absolutely committed to that. He doesn't want that to happen. The second thing we see here in verse 16 is that the shield of faith provides us a covering. He says in verse 16, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Listen, this word fiery darts, it's an interesting word. It means spear or arrow. It's also translated missile. Boy, that's like our day and age, isn't it? But watch this. It says concerning the shield that it can quench all the fiery darts. What kind of fiery darts are we talking about? Back in Jesus' day, they would take an arrow, it's a very small arrow, and they would take the needle or the tip of that arrow and they would dip it in a type of pitch or like tar. And then they would set it on fire. And you would think, well, if I had a shield and somebody launched an arrow, that wouldn't be that big of a deal. I mean, I could see it coming. But that's not how they did it. They had this catapult. And they had like an egg carton type of a device where they had, like, think of it as a plywood sheet with holes poked in it. And they would put the fiery dart or fiery arrow in that hole. They would light it, and then they would release the catapult 50 at a time. Can you imagine? You're standing out there, and this is one of the problems. If it was in the summer or fall, the grass that you'd be warring in and fighting in the fields and in the open meadows and places, that grass would often be what? Dry. You're fighting, and often around you, if your shield didn't get the arrow, it often fell to the ground, and it would catch the ground on fire. So not only are you fighting an enemy, but now the ground's burning. But the arrows that hit the shield, that leather that they put on there, and the resin that it was coated in, it caused the arrow just enough to pierce the leather that it would extinguish the flame. Isn't that amazing? It completely put it out. That's why Paul uses this word, that the shield of faith will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. How many of them? All of them.
Well, brother, Satan's really been kicking me around this month. I haven't been to church for a while because Satan's been beating me up. What kind of talk is that? You crazy nut? You let him beat you up. Oh, he's tearing me up. No, you're letting him tear you up. Get your shield up. Quit using it as a surfboard or something. Pick the thing up.
The greatest detriment to our faith is another word that starts with an F. It's feelings. Feelings. Feelings so often betray us and we set our shield down. I don't feel like going on. Well, you gotta go on. But I don't feel like it. Well, what do you feel like? You know, I remember being a little kid, I remember my parents getting so upset with me. My mom would get so mad, and I don't know if it was like this in your life, but it was like this in my life. I would say, I'm hungry. And my mom would say, well, we're having hot dogs for dinner. I don't want a hot dog. Doesn't sound good. Well, we've got this. I don't want that. You're hungry, but you don't know quite what you want. As a little kid, they get frustrated. You ever seen that happen? You know, you can have a smorgasbord in front of them, and it still won't work. That's what feelings do to us. We've got the implements of war as a Christian. Well, I don't feel like warring today. Well, you think the enemy goes, all right. Hey, you forces of hell, back off. He doesn't feel like fighting today. Think about it. They don't sleep. They're spiritual entities. They don't go away. They wait for an opportune moment. Paul told us we war against things that are spiritual, invisible, principalities and powers. This shield was to provide us a covering. So as those things are launched, we would be able to pick up this great shield and kind of crouch behind it and be safe. When your faith gets undermined, people, when our faith gets hit, we begin to doubt. We begin to waver. We begin to wonder. Lord, are you with me? Lord, are you there? Feelings will always betray us. Faith, if we are plugged into the Word of God, faith will endure. It will be strong. It will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. All of them. And so often these fiery darts come in the air of discouragement, depression. Have you ever been depressed and you don't know why? You're just depressed. It could be the enemy. Feeling rejected, you feel weird, it's just not my day, what is wrong? Listen, don't go by your feelings, just know, wait a minute, Lord, I know right now that what I'm feeling in my life and what I'm experiencing is not pleasurable, it's not encouraging, it's not powerful in the right way, it's not you, God. I can't see this And you just stop and by faith realize these are feelings that are screaming at me right now. And I'm going to default right now to faith. I'm going to say no to these feelings. My goodness, do you realize how strong we would be if we would obey that truth? Faith. It's never going to mislead us if we keep our faith anchored on Him and we keep that shield of faith that He has provided up and around us in this great battle. The fiery darts. The fiery darts also speak of a specific strategy of Satan, a deadly temptation. You look at a mouse trap. Or I like rat traps better. They're huge. And we feed a lot of birds in our backyards, and every so often there's a rat that shows up. And they love to eat the bird seed. So what do? I put a big thing. I don't know why they love this, but I'll take cheese. And you might say, well, of course they love cheese. Yeah, but I put hot sauce on it. They love the hot sauce. Sometimes we have found things where they just lick the hot sauce off. And you'd set that thing. And do you think that rat comes up and goes, this could be a trap? I don't think his friends are going, you go over there and see. This could be a setup. You go out ahead. You're the point man today. No, you know what? That rat just sees what? The cheese. And smells the hot sauce. The California rats. Salsa rats. And it goes up there. And he's not thinking. You know, it's kind of funny. This thing's on a perfectly neat piece of wood. It's got a big coil and spring on it. And it looks like it's got a little trip thing there. He's not thinking like that. All he sees is cheese. He doesn't care about anything else. Why? Because I have tempted him in a specific way. Just cheese. He could care less about the spring. He could care less about the wood that it's on. He could care less that the rat trap company even colored a little rat head on there where he's going to wind up. He doesn't look and say, gosh, that kind of fits my head. He doesn't get anything of it. He just goes, cool, cheese. And he walks up there and he's dead. And Satan does that. Satan will watch and watch and watch, and he'll pull out an arrow, and he'll say, you know what? I'm going to dip this one. This fiery dart is going to be pride, because he just got used by God, or he just got promoted at the company, and I'm going to get him with pride. And whoom! And it sticks. If your shield's not up, it goes right in. And it begins to burn. He might pull out another arrow, and he might launch it right into your heart because it's the temptation of lust. He will stalk you, and he'll look for an opportunity. And I can guarantee you this, if you can be walking right along with God and just make one right-hand adventure down some wrong path and open up a Pandora's box, because he's been waiting. He's been walking and stalking you, and right when you open that door, just to take a little peek. I just felt this little temptation going on. I'm just going to look. There's no harm in looking. And the moment you open the door, he launches right in your heart. And you might say, well, I don't know about that. Well, listen, at the most subtle attack, you shut that door and turn back from what God is saying. Don't do that. And you are depressed, you are defeated, and you are not about to share Christ with anybody around you, are you? You're pretty self-absorbed because you feel pretty low. And Satan just goes, all right, I got him for a while, as he goes off. Fiery darts. They come in all kinds of shapes and sizes and names. It could be Billy, or it could be Bubbles, or it could be money, or it could be a car. It could be anything. He launches against us to attack. That shield is to provide us a great covering. In 1 Peter 5:8, the Bible says, be sober. It means wake up, be on the alert, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world, that we'd be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. The third thing we see in verse 16 is that the shield of faith allows us to advance. When we quench the assault of the enemy, we can go forward. It's like David and Goliath. That's a great story about what we're even studying now. Spiritual implements of war. Remember when David came? He just came to bring his brothers some food from home, remember? But he was so excited to see the battle. David loved the smell of war. This is a kid thing, you know? He's a kid. They play battle all the time. And his brothers were at war. So he shows up, and he hears Goliath spouting off his mouth. And David says, well, who's going to go up and fight against this guy? I mean, who's going to go out there? And they're all like, oh, not us, not us. And David says, I'll take that guy on. And King Saul, what does King Saul do? Tries to place his armor on David. And David was a little guy, it says. Can you imagine? Saul was a big guy. He was head and shoulders above everyone else in Israel. He's a big guy. He takes his helmet and puts it on David. You know, David, he can spin the helmet around on his head. Huge armor. He said, I can't fight in this. So David dumps the armor and he goes and finds 5 smooth stones. By the way, some of us have been to the Valley of Elah there where the battle took place because it's the high points on each side. The enemies would have camped opposite one another and then gone down in that valley there to fight. Pretty neat. And guess what's in that dried up brook? The smoothest stones you've ever seen. David went down there, picked up 5 of them because Goliath had 4 brothers. And he goes up there. And he killed that giant because God had given him confidence and victory before. Because what did he kill prior to that? A lion and a bear. David had faith. I tell you, he had a lot of faith because what killed him? The stone? Stone didn't kill him. Stone knocked him out. Little David goes over there and climbs up on top of Goliath's chest and pulls out Goliath's sword and starts dragging it across his neck. That's a great sight. And with each movement of the saw, he goes a little bit deeper into his flesh and cuts his neck through the bone. What are you doing? That's awesome. You're supposed to say amen, hallelujah. That's a picture. That's a parable for us in these days, man. We're like little David. Cutting down the Goliaths in our life. But, you know, David didn't look at him and go, well, you know, he's 9'7", I'm 4'3". No, the awesome thing is David saw Goliath standing in the shadow of his God. David, it says in the scripture, grabbed those stones and ran right straight toward the giant. Little did that giant know that God was in the heart of David and all the way around him. We cannot any longer say, well, you know, I'm just a weak Christian because Satan's so tough. No, we're weak because we choose to be weak. We're losing the Christian battle because we have chosen to lose. We yield to our flesh, whatever we want, we cry out for. We never stop hardly ever to say, God, what do you want? What's your desire, Lord? And many, many people are suffering in their Christian experience because they're more concerned about what they want out of life than what God's will has for them. And our shield has fallen down. And we're not advancing. We're not taking the kingdom by force. The second point tonight is in verse 17, the helmet of salvation, that it keeps us secure. He says, and take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation is to resist enemy doubt. Enemy doubt is what the enemy would love to sow into our hearts, to doubt our salvation. Look what he says here, the helmet of salvation. The helmet, of course, goes on the head. The head is so kept in such a way that it is safe. And it is the thinking. It is our mind our thinking, the processes. We can honestly say too, the soul, because the soul is connected with the mind. Taking the helmet of salvation. So the helmet goes on the head, and we're talking about the battlefield of the mind. And listen, every Christian struggles with doubt from time to time. It's natural. Some brand new Christians might struggle with doubt that God, does God really exist? But then somebody who's been a Christian for a while might struggle with doubt. Will God pull this off? You know, will this come to pass? Or God, will you do that or the other? Every Christian suffers with doubt from time to time. But we don't have to succumb to doubt. What he means right here concerning the helmet of salvation is the knowing. Listen, this is so incredibly important. I don't care if we get any further than this verse tonight. Do you know that you're saved? Do you really know? Listen, can you defend the fact that you're saved then? Can you say this, I know I'm saved, and this is the reason why? Can you say that tonight? You must be able to say that. If you cannot, then I encourage all of us to join the call or sharing your faith immediately, honestly, immediately. Because you know what? You will become a statistic that the Mormon Church and the Jehovah Witnesses boast about. That the most of their converts are either Catholic, they'll tell you, or confused Protestants. You're either a Catholic or a confused Protestant that makes it into the Mormon or Jehovah Witness cult. That's what they say. That's what they tell us. Look at their statistics. Because people have not been given the answers regarding their faith. And this salvation helmet that's on the head, it breeds security. I'm saved. Because I'm saved, I'm going to go out there with boldness. Man, I got my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. I got the breastplate of righteousness. The belt of truth is wrapped around my waist. I'm going out there. I'm going to win the world for Christ. Somebody who's got their helmet cockeyed or not on, they can't do that. They're frightened. I can't go. I'm going to go share. Well, why not? The very person you talk to, you could lead them to heaven. Oh, I look like a fool. Now, I understand us not evangelizing because we may not know what to say. But once we know what to say, we must do this. David said concerning this very thing, he says, regarding his sin, that he confessed his sin, forsook his sin, and then he said that he instructed sinners in the way that they should go. The joy of his salvation returned to him. And he evangelized.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a presentation called Slaying the Dragon and Other Scary Things, it's part of a mini-series taken from Ephesians 6 called Complete Christian Armor. By the way, this series, Complete Christian Armor, is now available in an 8-CD set. Remember, our calling here at Real Radio is to equip you with all that is necessary for your growth as a true believer. So, here's our offer. For your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount, we'll be glad to send you this 8-CD package. Ask for it by name, Complete Christian Armor. To get in touch, call, click, or write. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or you can send your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.